So today, the computer is changing our world. The way we do business, the way we travel, the way we communicate with each other.
It's Friday night, weekend. And you don't feel like cooking, you feel like ordering pizza. A decision that many of us make on a weekly basis. At least I do, I have to admit. But if it's something you do as well, you'll recognize it's a decision that forces you to make several other decisions, such as what pizza to order, and more importantly, where from. Because at any given moment, there are probably around 20 pizza places close to you that all claim to make the best margherita pizza in the world. But how do you know which one is actually best? Well, you could spend 20 consecutive Friday nights doing research, ordering a margherita from a different place every week, or you could use Bayesian theory. With me today to explain what that is Elena Rapponi. She once traveled across Italy in search of the best pizza, and now spends her working days unraveling black box mysteries at LIAX. And yes, she's Italian. My name is Michiel, and this is Computers Don't Bite, a podcast by the Leiden Institute of Advanced Computer Science. In this show, I ask computer scientists what on earth they're doing.
Elena, wonderful to have you here. Welcome to the show.
My pleasure.
We are going to be talking about choice and optimization today. But before we introduce either one of those concepts, I would love for you to introduce yourself and how you ended up at LIAX. Tell me about it.
Sure. So I'm Elena Rapponi, Italian and mathematician by education. So I studied mathematics until my PhD in a very small university in Camerino in Italy.
So where is that located?
It's in the center of Italy on the Adriatic coast, but a little bit more towards the mountain. The region name is called Marche. But yeah, so the University of Camerino is located there. Super small village, 8,000 inhabitants and 10,000 students. So best student life.
Oh, wow.
And I studied mathematics and applied to structural mechanics or engineering design, which means that you want to optimize car components facing crashes or external impacts. And you want to optimize both geometries and materials.
Optimize how?
For example, you want to, optimize parameters defining the shape of an impact attenuator. You want to optimize the section of the geometry and optimize the thicknesses, radiuses, or in general, you can also start from an empty design domain, and you want just to do some additive manufacturing. So you want to position material in such a way.
Right. So basically the best possible configuration and composition of an engine and all its components, for instance.
More structural, meaning structural, right. car chassis, okay. Or car hood, or impact attenuators than the engine part. But yeah, so the idea is that if the car crashes towards an external object, then you'd want to absorb with the car structure the maximum amount of energy that you can.
To avoid injuries of
the occupants. Okay. Yes.
So. And that's how you started with the whole optimization thing.
Yes, and in particular with Bayesian optimization, which is my main research field now, because usually when you want to optimize car components, you rely on computationally intensive numerical simulation, meaning that, I don't know if you have heard about CAD models, you have like representation, numerical representation of the component that you want to optimize, so a discretized model, and you need to simulate that. And simulations can take minutes, hours, days if you are simulating with your machine an actual car crash, for example.
Yeah.
And given that, to understand what's the output, so how the structure that you want to optimize will perform during the car crash, given that you need to wait such a long time, you really need to be effective in how you choose the parameterization that you want to test. So essentially, optimization is
That's the computer science part of it.
Babe. That's the computer science part of it, exactly. So essentially is a sequence of decisions, right? And yeah. you want to land eventually to the best possible decision that you can make.
Yeah.
And given that I'm working in a context which is called black box optimization, meaning that you don't know the mathematical formula describing your phenomenon, but all you can do is... observing what the output of a system would be given a certain input. So yeah. in that case, you have of the car, you might have a parameter configuration that defines your 3D model. You simulate that. And as an output, you have how much energy it absorbed. But yeah. you don't know anything happening in between. You know that this is the geometry and this is the performance of that geometry, right?
Yeah.
So, and given that this evaluation takes a lot of time, you really want to be efficient in understanding what configurations you want to test, because usually you have a limited budget. The longer it takes to test something and the less amount of times you want to test it, right? Because the idea is that you want to produce the next car. There are some production cycles that have some restricted times, right? So, yeah, Bayesian optimization is a class of optimization algorithms that works well under these settings.
Yeah. What sort of drove you to this direction, to this research field? Why optimization?
What excites me about optimization is that it is everywhere. So car crashes was just... what led
this
me here.
This is a fun example.
That's, I mean, not really yeah, the most fun, yeah. indeed. But it is what led me here, because studying that allowed me to have quite a transversal and interdisciplinary background. And given that this type of optimization is not based on heavy mathematical assumptions, but that can be applied to many other contexts, right? It can be protein design or optimization of hyperparameter optimization for neural networks. So in computer yeah. science.
And now even still, you're only talking about the scientific areas where one would need optimization, where one would use optimization, but really it's something humans use all the time in everyday life, right? So when I turn on Netflix, I need to optimize. Otherwise, I'll just sit there like a couch potato and never watch anything.
That couldn't be more true. You know, I think that humans just optimize constantly in their lives. It can be choosing a Netflix series. You know, also when you open Netflix, you have suggestions based on what's your taste and what you have watched so far, right? And this is also something that you would, it's innate in you, meaning that you know what type of a series you would like. So if you want to watch something that you wanna be sure you will like, most likely you won't go select a completely different style of series,
yeah.
right?
I'll probably play it safe. Yeah.
You play safe, but also, you know, if you don't explore, you will always keep moving in that limited neighborhood. So mm-hmm. sometimes if you feel brave enough and if you know that you want to invest your time in yeah. Exploring a little bit, then you might tell Netflix to actually project on your screen something which goes a little bit farther from what has been your taste so far. So I think that humans optimize constantly. And one anecdote from when my teenage years is that as an Italian, I loved pizza. And I really wanted to find the best pizza place in my region. So I would go around and actually taste pizza.
It's so funny.
I mean, this is it. And as every other teenager who always believes to be always right, I was convinced that the best pizza that you could find was in a specific restaurant in another village from where I used to live. And I would go around and tell everybody that's how pizza should be. That's the best pizza place that you can find.
Yeah. Would you hitchhike there, or how did you get there? By bike or walk?
I mean, my family likes pizza too.
Okay, so okay.
It would be like a family trip.
Okay, and so eventually you found that place. You convinced your whole family, like, that's where we need to go.
Yes.
And then what happened?
So essentially, it happened that one day I went to Rome. And in Rome, I ate an amazing pizza. And I was surprised by how good it was, because my prior belief on what a good pizza should be was completely destroyed.
Because you had never, you'd never experienced this. Yeah.
Yes.
This was a new experience.
New experience. I found out how good the pizza in Rome was. And then essentially, this is how my belief got updated with new observations, which is new pizza's taste, right?
Yeah.
And so it got updated, and then my whole belief, which is called posterior belief, which is something that belongs to optimization and Bayesian optimization in particular, shifted towards that side of Italy. So I'm from the east, and Rome is on the west side, west coast of Italy. And then I said, maybe if you want a good pizza, you could potentially go to that side. And then at that point, you know, I wasn't sure anymore. So my uncertainty about where a good pizza could be eaten increased. And then I said, okay, let's move towards that direction a little bit more. So let's...
Physically.
Not on the same day, but like for maybe in other occasions. And went to Naples. And then I found the best pizza places in Naples. And the more I would try there, the more I would think that I would have found the solution to my problem. So that the pizza in Naples, unfortunately, was tastier and even better than that place that I would brag about when I was a teenager.
What's the lesson that we can learn from this?
The lesson is that humans believe things. And they believe things based on what they observe around them. The more you observe, the more your belief changes. And based on this updated belief, you actually tend to choose other options. And eventually land to a solution that is optimal and you wouldn't expect to be optimal at the beginning. So how optimization works is very much aligned with how our brain as humans works. Sometimes we tend to stay in our comfort zone and explore a little bit better what we already know quite well. And some other times we like to explore.
Sometimes we go to Rome or Naples.
We go to Rome or even Naples and find out that was the way to go since the very start. Right? And this is exactly what you would do as an algorithm designer.
Wow.
If you work in Bayesian optimization. So update this prior belief with data observation, turn it into a posterior belief, and base your future decisions on the posterior belief. So whenever I start talking about Bayesian optimization, I borrow the definition that Roman Garnett, who's the author of the only book in Bayesian optimization.
Just one book.
The book.
Okay.
Was written, published actually 2 years ago. He says that Bayesian optimization is a philosophical approach to optimization, which is grounded in Bayesian inference, from which a family of algorithms then spreaded and a lot of studies have been started.
It's a school of thought, basically.
It's a school of thought, exactly, because essentially you try to find the optimal solution based on what is your belief on something, and then you can collect data, observe data, and then you update what are your thoughts about this phenomenon, right? And this is what a human being does every day in their lives.
So it's a very human approach to optimization, you could say.
Yes, definitely. It's an algorithm or a class of algorithm that, in my opinion, work exactly as a human brain would work when trying to find a solution to their problems, for example. So you think something, then you're ready to maybe change your thoughts if you see something different happening. And then based on this updated belief that you might have, you take the next step, right? And this is, in a few words, what Bayesian optimization does.
Interesting. So what are your current ambitions as a scientist? What are you hoping to achieve with your research, besides finding the best pizza spots in Leiden, obviously?
I like working in algorithm design, selection, configuration, which I think is super useful in many practical contexts. Let me explain what I mean. I think that a common tendency by our research community is actually to design techniques that will be the best techniques that you can ever design, right? So you want to propose an algorithm that is winning on I don't know how many different test beds, test cases, yep, and so on. And I don't think that's the way, meaning that, you cannot really find an algorithm that performs very well or ranks first on every possible application.
Across the board. Yeah, yeah. Yes. So you need specific.
Yes, indeed. So the idea for me is that we should be able to select and to configure our algorithm based on the application that we are facing in that moment. And that makes me feel super useful somehow for people facing real life problems, right? Because, for example, last week I went visiting a company working in finance, and this is yet another application field that we haven't mentioned so far, right?
Yeah.
And I got asked the same question, which was, why do you like Bayesian optimization? Why do you like optimization? And I said, it just makes me feel free, because I can really work on as many directions as you like and apply to as many applications as you like, and useful.
Useful also because it makes things more efficient, right? And you use less resources or all that stuff. That's also part of it, I guess.
Yes.
So is Bayesian optimization, is that the only thing out there right now? Is that the only way to go, or is there more?
It's not. Definitely there is more out there. Part of my team here at LIEX works, for example, on yet another field of optimization, which is evolutionary computation. And that type of optimization is based on other principles, which are nature-inspired and so on.
Natural computing, yeah.
Yes. So that's another way to go. What is best under what settings is something that can be answered quite easily if the characteristics of the settings are obvious. For example, we were talking about how much budget, which can be monetary budget or time budget, you have, right?
Yeah, and you could also use an optimization thing to decide which optimization.
Definitely, some optimization on the meta level.
Yeah,
this is indeed something that is done, and it's called algorithm selection and configuration. And you could indeed use optimizers to try to understand what is the best algorithm for that case, or you can use it to configure some parameters defining an algorithm that you want to use. So you can do both these tasks at the same time. Or if you want to move one step farther, we are recently working as a group on generating algorithm via an optimization engine.
Okay, that feels sort of contradictory to, or sort of not what you would expect.
Why?
I don't know. It feels different than what you were saying before.
Yes, you're right. I think that as an algorithm lover and as a person who wants to be a designer of algorithms.
Yeah, you want to write it yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Having an optimization algorithm which is helped by large language models in this case.
So it's a generative code, basically.
Yes.
Okay.
It's generative AI for generating code bases, and this code base can be your algorithm.
So are there coders listening to this podcast right now who are completely freaking out that you're doing this, or is everybody okay with this?
I think you can find people who wouldn't like that, mm-hmm, but you can also find people like me who maybe think that the machine is doing her job and doesn't sound that great. But at the same time, the machine doesn't have the same amount of knowledge that we have. And I have learned so much by looking at the outputs of this generator. And I think that how much I've learned about what could be winning strategies in some context, for example, optimizing, I don't know, as I said, car chassis, or another context, which can be kernel tuning or protein design, you might actually observe what mechanisms the LLM comes up with, right?
Learn from that. Yeah.
You learn from that, and this is going to inspire you for further research. So I think it's super powerful, but what I personally think is that it's not a final product at the end.
You still have to bake your own pizza.
At the end of the day, yes. After learning
after
a
learning
lot, right?
How to do it, yeah.
But at the same time, you like the machine doesn't have the same touch, doesn't have the same background. So I'm more excited for how much I can learn and how much it can inspire me as an intermediate step than for essentially really delivering via an LLM end solutions, you know? But what I really like about this is that we use in-loop evaluations on specific test cases, meaning that I'm not gonna use an algorithm generated for car crash worthiness, apply it to protein design. And vice versa, I would not generate an algorithm based on evaluation on protein design for optimizing cars, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
That makes sense, but this is not what our community did in the last decades.
In general,
you want to have an algorithm that people would choose blinded, you know, like without actually even having to ask why that algorithm would be good for that application.
Yeah. One final pizza joke. Did you ever decide to write your own pizza restaurant finding algorithm? Or is that something that's maybe on your to-do list?
Yeah, that would be fun. That would be a lot of fun. At the same time, gathering data would be quite complicated. You need to ask people to fill in surveys about their tastes. And not many people are crazy as much as... I am, I guess, and having this love for pizza.
So maybe one day. Yeah.
Maybe one day.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thanks for listening to Computers Don't Bite, a podcast by the Leiden Institute of Advanced Computer Science. Do you enjoy listening to this show? Let us know by giving us a nice rating or by leaving a comment. Thanks. A fresh episode will be waiting for you in 2 weeks.